Hello, hello. This is April O'Connor. We're the Canna Linguists.
Hey.
We got Alex here, my co-host with the most, and my lovely guest. We got Bree Geiger here.
Uh-huh.
What's going on, Bree? How you doing?
Just currently have a bong in my hand.
Well, you know what? Toke away on that.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Thank you for coming on down.
For other
reasons, it's a pleasure to have you here. We're sitting here on this lovely evening with some bong tokes and a bottle of Jägermeister, just going to town on it. This has been a wonderful evening, I have to say. I mean, we got some Alaskan Thunderfuck in front of us. We got a couple other things. April brought a variable smorgasbord of marijuana. Oh, we should kill the fan, actually, if we're going to.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. April's on it. April's on it. But April brought a variable smorgasbord of a poo-poo platter, if you will, of marijuana.
As she does, usually, to great events.
Oh, no. She's the only person that brings more weed than me places. And I bring a lot of weed places.
It's the variety.
I always have to ask you, have you ever had that?
Not the quantity.
Do you have that friend who you smoke with all the time? Because I have that friend who I smoke with all the time who, you know, he always has asked me, he's like, so, hey, do you got weed on you? You got weed on you? And finally, like, I got to that point where I was like, dude, don't ask me if I have weed on me. Just ask, hey, Alex, how much weed do you have on you right now? Because there's no if. There's just only ever how much.
Mm-hmm. And you have enough to spare.
Yeah. So, yeah, I feel you, but see, you're in that whole growing world. You know, I spend mine retail, baby.
I've been in the retail world, at dispensaries, and then just kind of overlapped into a little gardening experience, and it's been an interesting. I have the pleasure of seeing a plethora of beautiful flowers of the most exotic variety, and I'm not that snobby. Honestly, I'm more snobby about beer than I would be about.
What do you mean you're more snobby about beer?
Really, you're a beer snob?
I just mean, like, I don't like drinking swag beer, but if that's the only thing around is swag weed, I would smoke it. What?
Like Bud Light?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, cool. I just want to see if we're on the right page.
Oh, yeah.
That's the thing. I love swag beer. I love fine beers, but I also...
Excluding
I always
Pabst.
Have a... I have a so, yeah, okay. Like, I love having a Pabst, man.
Pabst is amazing, though. It's amazing.
That makes me sound like such a hipster. It's like I'm on a weed talk show, and I'm saying I love Pabst. I'm like, nah. You probably live in fucking Silver Lake, you fucking fairy.
No, black people like Pabst, too. Black people, they don't necessarily, like, rep it like that. Like you would, like, a Colt 45, you know. But
I had a Mexican dude at a gas station ask me if Pabst Blue Ribbon was a new beer. I was like, no,
it
it's not new.
They just got a better marketing team.
They have new logos though, right?
No, it's still the Blue Ribbon, as it were.
They're just marketed as a like low brand beer.
I thought they changed their logo like 10 years
cheap.
Ago. I was also 12.
So Bree Geiger, it's nice to have you come down here. So we've been starting to take to asking our guests some questions.
Okay.
And the one that I came up with that I love is that what was your first time smoking?
My first time smoking, I was 14 years old.
Ooh.
Yes.
Okay. Our first time asking this question, we have had one younger. Our first time was 12. Okay. I'm going to keep a record of this of what the youngest one is.
I felt bad for 13, but 12 is pretty late.
14, yeah.
You were 13?
Yeah.
Yeah, You were 14?
No. I was, I hit it once when I was, like, I think I was 12, but I it was a small hit and I didn't even really do it right. I don't even think I inhaled.
God.
But I didn't try it again later. I didn't actually really smoke and get high until I was 18 going on 19.
Wow.
I was out of high school.
Yeah, that's when I remember, really started.
And I told the story just recently, and I said the biggest regret that I had as soon as I got high was I went, oh my God, I'd have done homework in high school if I had actually smoked this in high school. And I was regretting all the time that I hadn't smoked.
You would have been so super motivated.
I'd been a great student. Yeah. I'd have been an A-plus student. Because as it was, I got straight B's because I wouldn't do any homework, and then I'd ace all my tests. And so it averaged out to like a B.
Yeah.
And that was the worst thing. At the beginning of every school semester, the teacher would give you the syllabus. They're like, here's how I grade you. And I'd always look, and if homework was less than 20%,
I was always like, all right, cool. I'll take the hit.
Cool,
whatever.
I'll take the hit. I'll take the hit. I'm not doing any of that because you have not penalized me enough for not doing it. So fuck all your homework.
Right.
That was kind of my view on it. So go on, though. So you were 14.
I was 13.
Oh, 13.
Did I say 14?
I thought you said 14.
I think you did.
Oh, shit. I don't remember. We'll have to listen back. We'll never know until we...
Court reporter, roll back the tape.
Okay. I think I was 13. Actually, I don't know how old I was now, but I think I was 13. The weed's kicking in. And I was...
This could be like drunken recall, though. So she might be remembering it better now.
Well, now I'm saying it out loud and being like, it's like the acid. I've never done acid, but my dad has, and he randomly has these acid effects where he's like, he doesn't talk. And then he's just like, oh, shit, I just had
an acid
memory.
Flashback.
But I get weed memories, too. So the weed helped. But I smoked it, and I remember just being so fucked up from it. You know how, like, in Half-Baked, he says, the first time you smoke weed, you don't get high.
Yep.
Yeah.
You get really, 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 really fucking high. You don't just get high. But it was insane. And we created like these characters, and I remember having trouble walking and just laughing so fucking hard. But our friends, my friend's mom was next door, and so we had to be so quiet about it. So we were just high in this like computer room, just fucked up. And I remember they told me if I would stop laughing, they would give me a Capri Sun. And so I was like, okay, you gotta do this.
I'll give you a sugary beverage if you just shut the fuck up.
And I like literally shut up. I couldn't do it, but I did get the Capri Sun. But yeah, it's fucked up. Shout out to my friends who got. I cannot wait for them to hear this. They're gonna love this.
Oh my god!
Y'all know who you is. Yeah.
So that was your first time getting high, huh?
That was my first time, yeah, and then it was
where was it?
You're
not from Los Angeles?
Nah. I lived in New York and I lived in Phoenix, but that was when I was living in Phoenix.
Okay.
Yeah, I was born in Jamaica
I didn't know that. Oh, geez, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. I wish I was there though, like when I smoked, because that's
you got to go back.
I've heard smoking there is just a whole different world.
Well, they got good weed, but they also got really, really bad weed. But it's where you're at is just
it's the culture
trip you out itself. So, but
it's kind of the birthplace of sitting on the beach and smoking weed.
Right.
like when people talk about like, oh man, sitting on the beach smoking weed, you're like, I know where they started doing that. I got a feeling I know exactly where that whole thing kicked off.
My question is. Like, what do you have, like, a really funny story of being, like, edibles? Have you had an over-medicated experience?
Oh, that is a good question.
This is fucking
That's
crazy.
A good one.
I actually just wrote this down on my phone. Literally, if I could tell you this story, it's, like, a two-minute story.
Yes.
It's fucking nuts. This is the craziest edible
We only
story.
Have 55 minutes on this podcast. I don't know if I can spare two for your fucking story right now. Please.
So me and my friend Kat, it was growing up, or we like close friends. It was me and my friend Kat and Courtney. We hung out a lot. And unfortunately, my friend Courtney passed away when we were like 17. And like recently, Kat moved to Hollywood. And so we've been hanging out a lot. And on Courtney's birthday, we always just like get fucked up and just hang out and talk about it and have a good time. But this particular year, 2014, we just decided to take a bunch of fucking edibles. And we were like, she would have loved it this way. But it was funny because at that time, we didn't even eat edibles or have edibles with her. But we kept saying like, she would have wanted This is what she would have wanted. But we have no idea.
She would have wanted us to eat a collective eighth of marijuana and just be totally fucking high off our ass.
This is how she wanted it. And so we took it and we were having a good time and it was good and we were laughing and stuff like that. But at like randomly we're like, yo, like we should call her. So we decided to call my deceased friend Courtney, call her on her old cell phone. And the brownies didn't hit me until a woman had answered the phone as we called her. And that exact moment, the brownies hit me.
Like a ton of fucking bricks, I'm sure, too. It's just like, it'll hit you like oh, hi. Oh, fuck. Oh, wait, was I just, am I on the phone right now? Yeah. What the fuck is going on? Oh.
It freaked us the fuck, yeah, exactly. It was like, what the fuck is going on? It freaked us the fuck out. And then my first initial high reaction was to throw the fucking phone. Across the fucking room. And then, yeah, me and Kat went back and forth about how she was alive and how I knew that, like, crazy things and just, like, some fucking crazy shit.
Oh, man.
And then, yeah, that's the story. But that's a recent one. That's a recent, like, literally a few months ago.
It's hard when you have a friend's phone number still and either in your mind or, like, saved in your phone that's passed away.
If we ask all these questions, we're going to have to answer. So what's your crazy edible story? I haven't heard you give me a crazy edible.
You guys haven't heard her? It's perfect.
No, that's the thing. So because this is our first few episodes, so we're just answering these questions for the first time. I told the story on the last episode of my first time getting high. So what's your
story? My crazy edible story was, I've had a few, but definitely the one was parts maybe hypothetical situations.
As always.
Anything that is, you know, anywho. I ate a few edibles before. I like to sleep when I fly because it's a long flight back to Boston.
That's understandable.
So I get on the plane. When I get to the airport, I realize that it's delayed, and I'm like, shit, I just stuffed a bunch of edibles. You know the time, like it's delayed onset, but you got about 45 minutes to get comfy.
Yeah.
And then it's like nap time, you know. So I got really, really over medicated, and it was around the holidays, and I may or may not have had some seeds on me.
Oh.
And I was starting to like nod off like a heroin addict, like in the terminal because the edibles were hitting me so hard. I took two. I was because sometimes I freak out about bringing them with me, so instead I'll just eat them all. Oh, you know. Exactly. Oh, and that I did that when I went to Europe too. I slept like a baby that time though. But then you get there and I was like, shit, my flight's delayed an hour, so I'm late.
And since
it's winter time and flights get fucked up, there's people on standby trying to go and some chick ratted me out because I was looking fucked up. I had one headphone in and one headphone out. So I was
How old were you?
Oh, this was like a few years ago.
Oh, okay. She ratted you grown out? Up. What you mean she ratted you out?
Like some lady that was, waiting on standby to get on the flight, went and got a security guard to come try to say that I was like too fucked up to fly because she wanted my seat.
Oh, that dirty bitch.
Yeah,
fucking way.
But she didn't know because I had a headphone in on this side and not on this side because you don't want to miss.
Then you couldn't have been that fucked up if you saw like that going on.
I know, but there's times on edibles where it's just like my friend would be like, you have like
the lights are on and you can hear everything going on. You just don't have any contact with the outside world.
Yeah, yeah, the lights are on.
I can hear everything going on.
But
if you asked me to have action on what I'm hearing, I can't fucking help you.
No, full state
of action. I got nothing for you.
Catatonic, just like totally aware of what's going on, but just relax.
No. The ears are on. The brain is comprehending what the ears are hearing. The muscles cannot do shit. They are dead. Now, my crazy edible story.
but I snapped out of it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I did.
You got out of this, right?
Oh, yeah. I got on the
you
flight.
Always talk
oh,
you
got
on the flight. You yourself back out of it. The thing is, when you're high, you talk so much to yourself. You're going to get yourself out of the situation. It just might take a while.
It wasn't even that. It was that I heard it. And as soon as I heard it, I was like, am I being paranoid that this bitch just like ratted me out? So
bitch.
I just kept my eye on the clock and I was like nodding my head. And I was like bobbing my head to the music. And she didn't know I had a headphone out. And then I like sat up, you know, and I'm like... all right, like, I'm get good. It together. And then I saw, then, shit together, and then April. She came back with a dude, like, a fucking security, like, or a sheriff, rather. And I was like, does she really? I was like, okay, I wasn't just paranoid. Because, you know, the THC can be a little trippy in the brain sometimes.
But, like, that bitch.
That bitch.
This whole time, I'm not even, like, paying attention. I'm like, that, still,
I'm
that
with
bitch.
You, that bitch.
Like, we want to go back and fuck her up.
FTB, fuck that bitch. Fuck that bitch.
And then no, your story?
Mine I'm was, sorry. No, mine was, so me, I was, we were on tour. We were doing some shows in Tahoe.
Cool.
On the California side, all legal, you know, yeah, Canada stuff with us. Yeah. And we're going through the Donner Pass. And when you're coming down that canyon, you could see into the valley. And I have a box that I like to take with me on tour. It looks like a makeup box. It like folds out like a tackle box. It's my weed box, and that's what I carry everything in. And we were gonna be out for about 2 weeks on this tour, so we had stocked up pretty nicely, and we brought two what are called Holistic Sam's Lose a Day brownies.
Whoa.
Which
that sounds awesome.
Yeah, that sounds.
They are made
up.
With about 1.5 grams of hash.
What?
in each brownie. They let you know very specifically in big bold writing on their dosage size: 1/4 of a brownie. Do not exceed dosage. So
like a bite, you good?
Yeah, that's when Sam made this. As he said, he went, this was for people who were. Who were true patients, people who needed this for sleep aid or hunger and pain. They couldn't smoke. He wanted people to be able to just sniff it and get high. Mm. And so we're on our way down
very
into the valley.
Very concentrated.
Yeah, we're on our way down into the valley, and the comedian home with looks at me and he goes, there's a lot of weed in this car. Let's do some. And I was like, okay. Now, we were about 30 minutes from the hotel that we were going to be staying at. So I was like, cool, we'll each take a big, large bite. We each took about a third of it, like, and took a big ass bite. And as soon as we swallowed, the phone rings. It's the booker for the first show. He's like, hey, need you guys to swing by the venue, pick up some stuff, give you your criteria for tomorrow, because we were going to be doing some radio. We're like, oh, fuck. All right. So we get to the venue, and the venue is like 30 stairs straight down. And we start jogging down these stairs, and that moment where they hit you like that was our moment going down those stairs. Like, oh fuck, I'm really high. And we look at each other, and we had to sit there listening to him. I don't remember anything what he said. He gave me some stuff. We get back in the car, and we drove around the block. The hotel was two blocks from the venue. We drove around the block 8 times. We finally find the parking structure. We park in it. We unpack the car. And my buddy goes, this is the wrong place. It's the wrong place. So we pack the car back up. Circle the block 2 more times. Park in the exact same spot. Unload the car. We get up to the hotel room. And I'm like, I'm going to get in the shower. And I go into the bathroom. And I couldn't turn it from the bathtub into the shower. I couldn't. I just couldn't figure it out. And I had to go get the other dude. And I'm like, can you turn it into a shower? And he's like, are you fucking with me? And he goes in there and he just pulls the thing and it's a shower. And he's like, what's, and I'm on the floor laughing like a little schoolgirl. He's like, I couldn't. And I pulled. I didn't know what was, I couldn't. Oh my God. And that was my crazy edible story.
That's fucking amazing.
Was that night.
Ours are all very similar, like heavily based off of, I'm not going to call it stupidity, but
heavily based off of over medication. We can say that.
It just heightens your awareness, maybe makes you hypersensitive and a little paranoid.
Yeah.
A little too cerebral.
Yeah. Nah. It trips you out. It trips you out sometimes. But that's the good shit. That means you smoke some good shit.
We be tripping.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, we're closing in on 420, so I'm going to pack the 420 bowl. So what are we smoking for 420?
Do you guys have any of that? Give me some of that. Okay, so what would a white person smoke a black person out? What smoke me out with something where you can be like, look.
I don't have the Phyllis Diller for you. See, that would be the shit that
impress
I would be
me.
Like.
Impress me.
I don't have the stuff on me to impress you. I really wish I did. I had it last week. She's had it a few times.
I'll be honest with you. I'm very easy to impress.
But what I do have is like this Alaskan Thunderfuck, which I'm a very big fan of.
I'm a big fan too.
Here's the thing. I am a sativa smoker.
And that's a sativa.
I always have been. I smoke too much weed to smoke indicas. If I smoked indica the way I smoke sativa, I wouldn't be able to have a job in which I... you know, provided any kind of life for myself. I wouldn't be able to get up off the couch if I smoked indica the way I smoke sativa. So I will always try and wow people with a sativa. So for 420, I'm going to... Where's the lighter?
I do want to say this. Oh, the lighter is...
Oh, no. We're without fire. Fuck. We're without fire.
Where'd the fire go?
Where did the fire... Oh, shit. It's right next to me.
Okay.
It's just, you know, listen.
Okay, cool. Because I was like, I remember
this is just
it.
A test. Cool, this cool. is just
the funny thing is we all looked down like it would not be on the table. Like that was our first reaction was, but I want to take y'all. The only like real good thing I could say when I rep Arizona Phoenix, I want to take y'all to a place called Chiba Hut. If you guys ever want to do shows in Phoenix, just travel there with me. I know great spots, but there's a place called Chiba Hut. I don't know if you've ever heard of it, but they name every sandwich off of a different type of weed.
See, yeah. I do like this Alaskan Thunderfuck. I mean, not just because of the name. It is a great name. But
is this my head or yours?
Oh, that's you. That's all you. Go ahead, Bree.
Well, I was just reading something in the news about Phoenix, about the TSA caught someone with 92 pounds in their luggage.
What?
Yeah.
That's...
It's so stupid. I don't know where you're trying to travel. Just drive.
I mean, 92 pounds is excessive. I mean, I'll listen.
What kind of suitcase is that?
That's not even a suitcase. That's a duffel bag.
Yeah, that's duffel bags. Duffel bags. Yeah,
that's plural. That's plural.
Yeah, but I get it. TSA finds 92 pounds of pot in checked luggage.
Gosh.
From one person?
It might not be from one person.
You see, that's the thing is that I feel like TSA really
It says 39-year-old Loretta Blanton had actually spread the load among three checked bags.
I feel like TSA has actually really tried.
Damn, that's a cool ass bitch.
Two made it, one didn't.
TSA has really tried
with one
to have like a three monkey stance.
Yeah.
On marijuana.
I can't remember if I took it.
That they're like, listen, if we don't see it and we don't hear it, we won't talk about it. Because there's such this gray area with, you know, it. Technically, if you're in California, you're allowed to have your medication on you up until the point that you cross the border. But TSA is a federal organization.
Which border?
No, they report to the LAPD. Border? If you get... Like
But they're still, I believe TSA are still federal employees.
They are, right.
So that's that whole thing where that's the gray area, is that technically they're subject to federal law, but they report to state and city authorities.
I think it depends also.
But that's the thing is, up until the point that my plane crosses the border into Arizona, Oregon, that marijuana is completely legal for me to have on me. It's my medication. When I cross the border, now it's illegal. Now I've, you know, crossed into that, you know, legal red area as opposed to gray area.
Yeah.
Now I'm absolutely breaking the law. So I always wonder, too. I mean, comedians on the road, how much, I mean, maybe I'm crazy. I don't sweat it. But I've had some instances recently and some stories that I've heard where I'm like, yeah, There's a little part of me that's a little bit scared taking weed on the road with me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely a little bit scary. I mean,
but only in the situation. As it's happening, you're like, this is cool. Like, I feel good. And then if there's ever a situation, you're like, oh, shit, you know, but.
Well, I mean, listen, I always tell a story because I was paying a friend for some marijuana that he had picked up for me. A young African-American gentleman.
Uh-huh.
I was writing him a check to pay him back outside of his apartment in West Hollywood.
What,
and
really here in California?
Yeah, right here in California. Don't judge me, okay? I've only had my card for like 2-3 years. I was late
I'm
to
not
that.
Judging you for getting your marijuana on the streets. I'm judging you for using a check.
So anyways, I was paying this gentleman by check, personal check, with the Boston Red Sox logo on it. No, but that's a whole other story.
Seriously?
I'm not, yes, you're, fucking seriously. I don't need your fucking judgment right now. I don't appreciate it. And a cop car pulled up and shines his light right through the window.
Thank God it was a check then at that point.
And the cop goes, "What's going on?" And I said, "I'm just dropping my buddy off, you know, saying bye to him." And they went, "All right, we were just checking." And they drove off. And my buddy looked at me and went, "They just checked to make sure y'all is all right. That wouldn't have happened for me if I was in the driver's seat." I'm like, oh, it's like that. That part of it I do understand, because they're people who I go on tour with. If I go out with three white comedians, everyone brings weed and no one has any problems with it.
Yeah.
One guy that I go out with who's Middle Eastern, the most paranoid human being that I have ever been on the road with. I'm talking, he's still in Washington, in the state of Washington, where it's legal recreationally. He was shoving towels under the door in the hotel so that the smell wouldn't get into the hallway.
I mean, you can't really shake it sometimes. Like, that's how you know.
I always California wonder how that race so plays into paranoia, how race will play into paranoia a lot.
Definitely,
of times.
But it's just where you're from too. Like on the East Coast, but you know, they're just starting to get medical marijuana. They're not used to that. Like,
true.
You know, you walk around and be bold because you're used to being bold. You know, people openly talk about stuff over the phone. It's like, what the fuck? Like, we had like code over there. It was like, "Hey, can I get a slice of pizza? No, I need a whole pie." Like, you know. How about a box of fucking cookies or whatever fucking just whatever, you know, you whatever way you can get across without getting across.
Yeah. I you know, going to the states where it is legal and the way that it's, I mean, it's, I was expecting just to see people smoke. It didn't change the way people smoked. People still smoked the same fucking way.
You never said a full sentence. Oh, okay. You just did as I said that.
Yeah.
Okay. But wait, do you remember?
Yeah,
what you
no,
said
I didn't. I was kind of like, you know, with
we
the
just realized that,
and then you know,
it was the same
but
way. Was
really,
like,
yeah.
Okay.
People up there, yeah, they still smoked the same
Jaeger
way. Yeah. You know when you're having a conversation and you don't string any sentences together and then at the end you say one sentence that had nothing to do with the rest of your stammering?
Jaeger.
Yeah. We did a few Jaeger shots before the show, and to any Dave Attell fans, you'll know what I was just talking about. And if you're not a Dave Attell fan, I get it, but that bit is fucking hilarious. That's a great Dave. Bri, have you ever heard that Dave Attell bit?
Yeah.
The, what was it? It was open on a girl sitting on a swing set. Where's daddy? Jaeger. It was such a good one.
I need to watch that video. I only know like I've heard someone do that impression before, and I asked for it. So
Dave's a weird, I mean, he's one of those comics that you either love him or hate him. I've heard some people who absolutely fucking despise Dave Attell and other people who just swear by everything he does.
I think he's cool.
Who are some of your big comics? I mean,
I don't know. I'm a big fan. I like Louis. Louis is very consistent to me.
Yeah, he is. He's been throwing it down for a long fucking time.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, he has. He's just very consistent always. And his through
line.
It's
weird this being a pot smoking show, but I so feel like I've just been like I've been talking about this Cosby thing with people for fucking
okay, honestly,
weeks.
Hey man, listen.
I hate talking about it. I don't want to talk about it, but it's all that's on my
fucking
mind.
I don't know anything about it. You gotta fill me in. I'm sorry. It's the first episode. Let's talk about it. It's current. It's new.
So
nigga, I don't know anything.
Bill Cosby. And here's the thing. It's been an open secret for a long time that this dude, I won't say that it was an open secret for a long time that he would date rape women, but it was an open secret for a long time that he was a philanderer, if you will. You know, even though he was married, that he, any and every woman, it was very well known. And there had been some reports for a long time, a lot of people who talked about, ah, yeah, you know, around Bill Clinton, around Bill Cosby.
Oh, boy.
And you have a couple drinks and a pill, and then you wake up the next morning, and I'm wearing his clothes, and I don't remember what happened. And at this point now, it's about 15, 16 women who've...
Why just now, though?
Who've told the same... Because Hannibal Buress...
It's not just now. It's not just under the rug.
Like I said, it was an open secret for a long time. Like Janice Dickinson, who just came out now, and no one wants to believe her. She was talking about this in 06, that she had written it in her book and got pressure from his lawyers and had to remove it from her book. So the reports have been there for a long time. It's just honestly, nobody wanted to take down America's dad. This man was... And
he's powerful since like
19,
Oprah.
Since 1990. So let,
I guess I never actually, thought of him all right, like that.
What? Himself is 1983. So himself since 1983 to today, when this news has really become now big news that everybody knows. From that point to this point, every generation of comedian in between that time, let's ballpark that at what? Every 5 years is a generation for a comedian. Let's ballpark that at like 8 generations of comedians have said himself. That's the fucking comedy album that I wish that I mean, I can't tell you how many comedians I know who've been inspired by that album. And is it doing a disservice to future comedians if we wipe that from the history? Is there something to be said for hate the artist, not the art? I don't know. I really don't have the answer to that fucking question. I wish I did, because I'm sick about this, because I'm one of those people who that fucking story where it's like, and those children was singing my praises, dad is great. Give us the chocolate. I mean, I fucking love that bit.
Have you heard the Spanish Fly bit?
Oh, my God. That's so awkward to listen to now.
I listened to it yesterday morning. I listened to it today, but I read about it days ago, and I put it off, and then I finally...
Yeah, yeah.
And when I finally listened to it, I was like, oh, this is bad. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
No way. Let's listen to it after this.
Oh, yeah. It's tough because he's basically talking about, you know, like, oh, a little pill, you know.
Should I put a snippet in here?
Oh, gosh, no. I won't play his comedy. I won't.
Yeah.
My mother, I was telling the story before him. My mother, who opened for him in Reno in 1978, she had that poster of her, Toby Stone, opening for Bill Cosby up in her bathroom. She said yesterday she took it down. She's like, I can't have it up anymore. It feels wrong. Mm-hmm. And it's
has he come out about this yet?
That was the big thing that was released today. The Associated Press released an interview that they did with him on the 6th,
yep,
where they asked him about it, and he just sat there like, we don't answer those questions.
They put his Netflix and on hold.
After he did
what?
That whole, after he did the whole we don't ask questions, they at the end of the interview, the cameraman, God bless you, to keep that tape rolling. Cosby just ripped the interviewer and the producer apart. Like, the only reason I took this interview is because I thought y'all had the integrity not to ask me these bullshit questions, which was a really nice way. Like, you could hear, it's where it feels so sociopathic, where it's like, yo, dude, you're going to sit here at you. Cause you gonna ride the integrity train right now?
Have
you gonna ride the integrity train? Like, you're gonna question these motherfuckers' integrity right now?
He says that back.
Yeah, he says to these guys, he's like, the only reason I took this interview is because I thought y'all didn't have I thought you guys had the integrity not to ask me about that. Like, how he was basically like, how dare you ask me questions about a story that's only been substantiated by 15 eyewitnesses who live 3,000 miles apart but all have oddly the same story, and you asking me bullshit questions about how dare you? Where's your journalistic integrity with your trifling?
Seen the Cosby memes?
Oh.
Have you seen the
Cosby memes is what, like, Hannibal Buress started it, and then the Cosby memes shot it into the atmosphere.
Oh,
I remember shout out to my boy Teddy Tutson, who did two of the funniest memes I saw all day of what we'll call Cosby Gate.
Oh.
The day that the memes became available online. But my two favorite was one of them was a picture of Cosby smiling, and it said, "I think Jameis Winston was innocent," which is just such a
God.
It's such a good.
I haven't seen
it's
that.
It's a good reference. And the other one, it was the picture of Cosby when he was making the sandwiches with the big goofy face turning around. And it, the meme was, this is the face of a sexual predator. I'm like, yeah, that's some fucked up honest shit right there. That's some fucked up honest shit.
Wow, dude, that's some fucking shit right
there. It hurts.
I didn't know that. I just saw, I see all of a sudden all these Bill trending, Cosby statuses trending. And I didn't really look
at it. Like I said, I can't think
I
of
feel sick
almost
about that.
Almost every comic I know that their comedy's worth a damn. Every single one of them will go, yeah, fucking Cosby a little bit at least. You know that they've at least you know, it's been the comedy album in my mind. Yeah. Like you have that, you have Carlin's Seven Dirty Words, and you have Pryor Live on the Sunset Strip. Mm-hmm. Those are the three albums I feel like today. The comedians that we have right now, those are the three albums that everyone's striving for. Is himself, Live on the Sunset Strip, and Seven Dirty Words. Like, those are the comedy albums that everyone wants to be.
How old is he right now?
77.
That's what his Netflix new hour was supposed to be, and they put that on hold. Some appearances have been put on hold. Even like the Cosby meme thing was just like
that was his PR agent trying to be like, hey, it's Cosby, right? And he knew that there would be a few bad memes, but he figured that everyone would just, the love for Cosby would prevail, because that had been literally what it had always been. The love of Cosby prevailed. All of a sudden,
but now he's too old.
That was the thing. They released those memes, and instead of it just being a few people, it was everybody. It was just the sexual predator this and the that, and every meme was negative, and that was what people did. That was what they didn't expect to happen, was for there to be this outflowing.
Right. And it happens a lot more, not just with that. Like, I mean, he's not the only person out there that does it. It's just that this one's finally, you know, got a little bit of press right now.
And you know, here's the weird thing. You know, my mom, who was a lounge singer and who was around all these guys, who's, like I said, she opened for Cosby in Reno. You know, here's where it gets murky. My own mother said to me, she was like, we didn't date rape. That wasn't a word. She's like, did I have a pill slip to me once? Did I wake up not remembering what? Yeah.
Yeah.
But that was just what happened back then.
Yeah.
And that's the part of it where I go, well, fuck.
That didn't exist in the law. Women didn't really have rights.
Will not name a name. She did say that nothing ever happened with Cosby. But she won't name any names. But she definitely said, she was like, oh, yeah, if I wanted to be that bitch who wrote the tell-all book, sure, there are people who I could scathe. I have no interest in that. Mm-hmm. And that's that part of it where I go, how rampant are we talking about? Was he just another comic who, like, there's a lot of sleazy comics out there. Mm. I know. I've been around a lot of female comics who've told me about how every fucking male comic was like, hey, I'd love to help you write a few jokes. And next thing you know, let's get together. And next thing you know, you're having a few drinks. And next thing you know, he fucking tries to stick his tongue into part of you. Like, I've heard all of the fucking horror stories. So I know comics can sometimes be a creepy breed. The question is, though, does that just mean that every comic in the 70s was fucking dropping Quaaludes in women's drinks?
Can I say something off of what you just said? Just to go off what you just said, the very first part of that. It's not the fact that they're creepy. It's that there's no point from where the jokes go to, like, sex. There's no smooth transition. And comedians aren't good at that. They're not, like, a lot of them are very friendly, and it's all friends until the second that they either try to kiss you and it comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's why it's creepy. If straight up, if they, like, from the beginning were like, that's a thing, it would be a different situation. But comedians,
socially awkward.
A lot of people talk about, you know, why it's, you know, harder for. Listen,
I'll go in on that.
Female comics have it harder than male comics.
Well,
flat
it's
out.
Not that.
No, here's.
I don't want you to feel sorry.
No,
for
it's not feeling sorry. It really isn't. The best comedy I have ever written has been with other comics. Some people write better by themselves. I write better in a group. I write better when I can bounce things off and hear some reactions. And I love writing with a group, whether it be a script, whether it be comedy. I love sitting down with my comic friends and be like, hey, I had this premise. Where do you think I can go with it? And bouncing some stuff around. And that's that thing where I can just sit down with my male comic friends and we can do that. And I don't have to worry about any of those sexual undertones. I don't have to worry about
someone.
Do you really think this joke is funny? Because when my buddy Teddy or my buddy Justin tells me a joke is funny, I know it's because that joke is funny. And do you have to second guess anytime a guy is like, no, 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 that joke is funny? Or like, you really think that joke is funny? Are you trying to get some? Because I'm trying to be serious about this. And if you want to help me write jokes, I would appreciate the help. Because I think every comic always would appreciate the help writing.
Right. And it's like, you might have a good premise, but you can, when you bounce it off somebody else, they might give you a better like layout. Yeah.
Listen,
same premise, but just a different layout.
The tampon bit that I was telling you about, it's the only bit of mine that's been on, it was on Sirius Radio. Like, it's my favorite bit that I've ever written. It's 3.5 minutes, and I spent 6 months trying to do it, and it bombed every time I did it. And I was sitting and I was having a conversation with my buddy Teddy Tutson. He's a great comedian. And the facts of the bit came up in a conversation and I was spitting him off and he was laughing his ass off. He's like, that shit's hilarious. How's that not a bit? And I was like, I tried it. It didn't work. He went, what are you talking about? You tried it. I was like, and walk it by me. And he had me walk the whole bit by him. And he went, all right, you were trying it this way. Now try it that way.
Yeah.
And it was like the eye-opening moment. I'm like, oh, the dialogue was the same, but the angle was complete. Like, I never thought of that way to approach it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden,
you have to create it was a closer. Stories.
It was slaying. It was tearing him down left and right. And it wouldn't be that bit unless it was with the help of another comedian. Mm-hmm. And in that way, immediately, it's harder for a female comic because you don't know if they're being honest with you.
Right.
It's right. It sucks.
Right.
Now, on the other side, it is a little bit, you know, hey, listen, I've met a lot of women who have a much easier time getting stage time than me. So I don't know. And is that just about flirting or anything else? Like, you know what? Listen, if I could flirt with someone to get stage time and they'd give it to me, I'd fucking do it. I'll never fucking hate on a woman who flirted a little bit to get some. You know what? If I could do that, goddamn right I would. Yeah. I'd bat my fucking pretty eyes and shake my cute little ass and fucking, yeah, absolutely. Because I care about being a comic. And if this gets me on stage more, yeah, fucking go for it. Never going to hear me fucking bitch and complain. We got off onto a weird comic tangent. I don't mind it at all.
We're going to have a song, right?
Oh, yeah, we got the song. That's right. We got the dance. Oh, we're going to play you a song.
Are we going to freestyle?
No, God, no.
Not this time.
You don't want to hear this. You don't want to hear this Jewish boy freestyle.
Okay, we'll freestyle when the mic's off.
Yeah, there you go.
I got you.
Okay.
That would work.
No, it's just a funny song. It's about dabs.
Oh, yeah, that's why we got our dab song.
Can they hear it too? People listening on the podcast?
I sip and close my eyes. I'm getting speeches from Native American guys. Speak your truth, it wasn't devised. The meaning of life, we all bleed inside and seeking to rise. Well, that was too much. We're making brain mush. I'm seeing fucking clear in a gold rush. The man you fear in the bus, well, not us. So trust the football stars in your butts. We have this little in our head and we don't know why, but we still do dance and we still get high. We have this little in our head and we don't know why, but we still do dance and we still get high.
Sounds like it'd be in a stoner movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting one.
It's the Fupa All-Stars, y'all.
Yeah, it's a good band. I like it a lot.
It's just a friend. It's a little side project silliness.
It's a lot of fun.
It's a segue to talk about dabs. Because
it's a fun way to talk about dabs.
Because dabs are interesting things.
You know what? Are you a dab fan? Do you do dab? Yeah.
Dabs also means down ass bitch.
Oh, and, well, I mean, and listen.
Well, in that case, yes.
Yo, is you a...
So I have to be.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
With those letters are put together, I have to do whatever that is. You put D, A, and B, I'm like, oh, fuck, you're right. Oh, I'm like,
God damn it.
So I, if it's offered, yeah, I never necessarily, like, seeked it, but it's fun. Yeah. So, it's a lot of work, though. It kind of looks like crack when you're putting it all together. Like, it's not like I know.
God, that would really say, like, if they develop a type of brain surgery where the acronym for it is DABS, is Bree just going to be like, well, fuck it, I got to go to medical school now. Yeah. Like, and I've always said anything that has that down-ass bitch, I'm a down-ass bitch. And I'm just going to fucking.
That is quotable right there.
I'm down for it.
Sound bite for life. Right
the
there.
Sound bite for life.
I want my ringtone.
I want
that's going to be my ringtone.
All of it. You. I want all of it.
Aristotle says that it not like the philosopher, the comic. he said it's like, it's one of his bits is about how, you know, potheads finally found a way to freebase marijuana.
Yeah, that's really what it felt. The first time I did a dab, because I didn't know what it was, I was at the 420 celebration at a dispensary, and they were doing, you know, $5 dabs. And, excuse me, I went, all right, I'll do one. How do you do it? And he went, oh, it's this. You just heat up the titanium nail, and he pulls out a blowtorch. I'm like, well, you need a blowtorch? Blowtorches,
like, trust me.
Blowtorches and metal that's glowing red.
Yeah.
Feels then, like drugs.
And then they
that,
say,
I don't feel like
we hit it
like,
immediately.
That
you were
I don't
this
feel
looks
like yeah, I
it.
Still hit it. I still smoked it. But like the whole time I was like, I'm not smoking weed anymore. Now I'm doing drugs.
Yeah.
That's where
I kind of another level.
Yeah, where I real quick. And like I said, it didn't get me higher enough for what it is, and like, you know,
that shit gets me.
The health concerns I hear, like,
much.
I don't like the butane. Like, I don't know what is urban legend and what is not, but I don't think butane is supposed to be in the human body.
Well, it's mostly evaporated. You actually get more butane from using a
lighter.
Using
a bowl. That's what everyone keeps saying, but you
know
what?
It's mostly evaporated. It's such a minute amount. You know, for most, you need a solvent to extract.
Yeah.
So there are other options that are less, you know,
CO2. Listen,
less
I've had the CO2 extracts, and I don't have a problem with them.
CO2 just doesn't come out as potent, though. The terps don't come through, the terpenes.
Once again, I mean, are you, Bree, are you getting so much higher on a dab hit than, say, even a hash hit?
I find them very similar.
Yeah.
And even like a keef bowl.
Yeah. Yeah.
All of those get me equally as high. But a dab hit is like at once more. I feel like it's all of those kind of like impacted more. Like
it hurts me.
It does hurt. I mean, what it does to your lungs, just the first 5 minutes when you're just.
yeah.
Like that
you try
part
to come
is
back.
Just,
it takes a while
it
to
makes
come back.
You sweat.
Yeah, you gotta walk it out. You ever take a hit and you just gotta walk it out? You're like, I'm
gonna
get
back. Yeah. No, I put on Mims and I just gotta walk it out.
Yeah.
No one picking up my Mims reference. Come on.
Mims?
Walk it out.
Oh, that was Mims?
Was that Mims? I think that was Mims.
I thought that was DJ Quick, but.
No. I know that wasn't DJ Quick. That was Mims.
Mims was like, this is why I'm hot.
You
fly.
Yeah. Okay. He's not. I mean, he's not as bad as Lil Jon as far as a rhymer goes, but he's definitely pretty far down there.
Oh, but just,
I just had a conversation.
But I just love Lil Jon.
Oh, he's God, listen. That man. That motherfucker's ability to make money just like he's printing it while saying the least amount of words humanly possible. Do you remember that one fucking hit that he was just turning out money with it? Snap your fingers. Yeah. Do your step. You could do it all by yourself.
Straight
let me see
bank.
You do it.
That's the shit.
And then he got to his verse and he's just like, do it. Let me rock with it. I'm like, yo, you just said three words in that whole fucking line. You just.
About to hit the club. We been robbing all day.
Yeah, yes. Oh, you know exactly. That part in the middle where he's like, let me see you do it. Oh,
and
God.
And he would throw it up, and then you would have to snap.
Oh, let me see you do it. Yeah. That was that was the jam. That was the fucking jam.
Yeah, yeah, that was the jam. I love that shit. I did. I saw Little John in Vegas a few, like 2 years ago for my friend's birthday.
What?
Yeah, she turned 21. I saw Little John randomly at a club. And
I was about to say, there ain't no way there's a Little John concert, because what's he just going to do, walk out there and just fucking play a bunch of other people's songs?
He was just a DJ of, it was a bunch of other people's songs, but he produced. Is a lot of shit, and every song he was doing was like a banger. No matter, like, all, a lot of his songs are like super, like,
he's very,
they're bangers.
I've always said, Lil Jon,
hyping it, like,
Lil Jon to me is what would happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Lil Jon to me is what happened if Jay-Z wasn't so fucking greedy. Because I've always shat on Jay-Z because I'm like, I don't think Jay-Z was that good a rhymer, but man, that dude had the hottest fucking beats. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just the hottest. And you saw, like, somewhere in the middle of his career when he started doing a lot of work with other rappers, and you're like, oh, this is what happens when Eminem gets his hands on a beat that Jay-Z gets to use. Oh, he fucking tears this shit apart, and he made Jay-Z look terrible. And you started realizing, you're like, Jay-Z was greedy, man. He kept all the good shit for himself, and he wouldn't let the best rhymers get their hands on the best beats, because he really fucking had the best beats. I mean, you can name probably 5 Jay-Z songs that the beat alone is an anthem. Mm-hmm. And everybody fucking loves it. And it's a good song. It's a hit. But fucking, I always say, like, imagine what Eminem would have done with that fucking Empire State of Mind beat. Oh, he probably would have fucking torn the wall off.
I saw Eminem a few months ago in concert.
M or Jay?
M.
Oh, I've heard the Rihanna tour. I heard it was fucking unbelievable.
So fucking good.
I heard it was unbelievable.
They were so good together. Eminem is amazing. Oh my God.
He's pretty unbelievable. Yeah, when he did that song Rap God, I remember listening to it, and I went, this isn't that great a song, but this is just him wagging his dick and going,
give a fuck.
He's just wagging his dick. Because here's the thing. A lot of rappers can change their tempo. A lot of them can change their pacing. But to do both mid-flow, that's not something that most people can do. I think we're dry on the Jaeger.
Oh.
That's something that most rappers can't do. And he can. And the speed that he can get up to. When he did that Ray J flow in the middle of Rap God, he's going like 6-7 words a second at that point. I mean, he's just so good. So good. That was a good concert, though.
I hang around big stars all day. I don't see what the big deal is anyway. You just playing on Marshall to me. Ooh, yeah, girl, run that game. Yeah.
It's good. I mean, yeah.
They were good. Like, the thing overall is, like, every female part that M's ever needed or ever had in any of his songs, even if Rihanna wasn't in it, she did that. And any male part, he did that. And they're very, very duo heavy, and they
They do
but
both
still
do
the
a lot
stars
of
their each of their songs. They it's like, that's their song.
Yeah.
That was the joke that I had. I would tell people all the time that song Forever that Drake did. I was like, how do you get people to listen to a 6-minute rap song? Make Eminem the last thing on it.
Yeah.
That's the only way you're going to get motherfuckers to stick around for six minutes of a rap song. You put Eminem at the fucking end of that shit. You got to listen to the whole song to get to. Because that's the thing. I mean, here's the thing. Give credit to Drake for dropping the greatest first line of a rap song ever. First name greatest. Like a sprained ankle, boy, ain't nothing to play with. And then just a shitty everything until you get to Lil Wayne, who is pretty, he drops a pretty good verse in that song, and then Eminem just brings it home. But you have to deal with a great opening line from Drake. The rest of Drake's is shit. He's like, I know G4 Pilots on a first name basis. I'm like, yeah, of course, you're from Canada. And then you get to Kanye, who's just, you know, Kanye's a pop asshole. He's not a rapper. I don't like anytime he tries to rap. I've just never been a Kanye fan.
You guys are just, I'm so like, my hip hop taste is way more underground than this conversation.
What's your hip hop taste?
Oh, yeah, no, listen, we only got like 5 minutes left. I want to hear what April fucking.
What you got
for me? Because we're talking about shit that the people would know. I mean, if you got
do
something
else. Do you
like
Immortal Technique?
Of course, yeah.
Fuck yes.
Fuck yes.
Okay, we're on the right page.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Oh,
for
shit.
Sure.
Oh, we got a little connection right going on. Oh, shit.
No, you would like Immortal Technique for sure.
Okay.
It's some like very political, like very beautiful.
It's intense,
lyrical.
Though.
It fucks you up.
No, yeah. I mean, that's always one of the things. It's like, listen, I believe Tupac was a great poet. Like I know that might seem cheesy and a lot of people make fun of me for saying shit like that, but I'm like, I fucking still love listening to old Tupac songs. I love it. I think that man was a master of words. He really was. What he could do with words, and the same thing with Eminem. I feel like the man is a master of fucking words, and I love what he can do when he's unleashed on a dictionary and a beat. And
you gotta
I really
go
think
listen.
A,
have you ever listened
so
to his first
to listen
album?
To. Yeah.
Who's?
What? Infinite album.
Yeah.
Not
the Slim Shady LP.
No.
Yeah, no. I know
what's
exactly what you're talking about.
Infinite.
So long, bitch, you did me so wrong.
No. That's a later album. No. This was all the this was the underground Eminem album. This was, you know, this was the 8 Mile era.
It is so different and so good though. It's like
what's a song on there that you can remember? I gotta like look.
Not a single one that you'd probably
Infinite.
Ever have, yeah, that's about
the
only one.
The album's title and what else is there?
Check it out. We'll play it for you when we're off air, but it's definitely worth checking out the whole album.
It's interesting. Yeah, I'm more in like I'm from the East Coast, so I obviously like my East Coast rap. But I'd say like Def Jux, like right now, I don't know if you know, what's it, LP and Big Mike?
Run
the Jewels, that's a new album. Yeah. They just came out with the Run the Jewels too, so check that one out. Mike. Yeah, I mean, but just that stuff on the radio just kind of irritates me a little bit.
No, listen, I don't like most of the radio. So I got the satellite radio.
Drake's starting to get on me a little bit. Like he's starting to get just from hearing it. Yeah, real quick.
That man is so good at dropping a great first line to a song and then just shitting on the. I mean, like I said, last name ever, first name greatest, like a sprained ankle, boy, ain't nothing to play with. That shit is so good. That shit is as good as the rest of his verse, and that song is absolutely terrible. That's how good that opening line is.
Ah, hell yeah. So, you have anything
people
to plug?
Gonna have to swim and find me,
what
Nemo.
Did you say?
yes, that's right. He gonna drop Nemo in his verse. Yeah, what do you have to plug?
What do you got going on?
Yeah, this is really great, actually. I do want to do a plug.
Yeah, what do you got to plug for us?
I have a show. I have a one-woman show that I'm doing.
Oh.
And it's called Through My Red Eyes. And it's a pretty much a pretty stoner 420 based.
Yes.
I'm going to pass this around for you. This is the going to be the flyer for it.
Oh, we'll make sure to put it up on the website and all that stuff.
Oh, I love it.
And a link and all that. So when's it going on?
Okay, so December 13th and December 14th.
Where at?
It's at the Loft Theater, which is downtown. And it's a really fucking cool theater. So despite the fact of it, you should just check it out.
How many, if you don't mind me, how many seats is the theater?
I believe it's like 100 maybe.
Yeah.
That's a perfect, for one person show, that's the perfect size.
Yeah. So
it's great. Nice and, you know.
It's a great spot. It's a great spot. So it's just like an hour long show. And, you know, I hope people come and be high.
Your life, I'm guessing?
Yeah, but not in the sense really, like kind of just moments that I've just kind of created.
There's a great one man show as we wrap up. Like, is the last thing? There's a great one man show that's going to be going on. Probably, I think it's actually the week after that.
Really?
That Cameron King. Now he's Cameron Clark, but back then he was Cameron King, who was originally in the King Family Singers. Which is like the Mormon family bands of the 70s.
That's what? Music,
and
yeah.
He was he's an out homosexual.
He has a show.
He's the voice of Leonardo, the Ninja Turtle. And there was this whole big thing that came out when people found out that he was the voice and he was gay, because he's not private. You know, I mean, he's private, but he's not quiet about the fact he has the most expensive Barbie collection in Northern America.
Epic.
And
fucking badass.
He has a one man show also going on just about him coming out and that whole experience of, you know, coming out and all that stuff. So I'm getting into the gear for the one man show. So I might have to come out and see that, because I've been dying to wait. I've been waiting to go and see his. So awesome. I'm just going to go on a string of one man shows, I think.
I'll be there the 13th.
This winter. I
okay,
like it.
Fuck yeah.
Well, thank you, Bree, for coming out. We love having you here. For April, I'm Alex Mandelberg. We are the Cannolinguists here on the Crab Diving Networks.
This is fucking awesome.
This is fucking awesome. Thank you for coming out. And smoke, 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 smoke.
Smoke, smoke.